Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's November 6th, episode 782, brought to you by Back on Track Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Morning. Today is Wednesday.
Hey, everyone. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day, baby. Here's to another week. Halfway done. Downhill stretch has finally begun.
Daddy, I want another pony.
What do they call Wednesday hump day anyhow? Innocuous jibber jabber.
All right, you want to freak out, people? You ready to freak out? 49 days till Christmas. 49 shopping days left. Glenn, that means that you will probably do all your shopping the day before, so you've got 48 days to wait.
Yeah, great. I like that. Hey, if anybody missed yesterday's show, we started with an entire show of Christmas gift ideas with Equus Now. So go back and listen to it.
I'll play it for my husband in his sleep on little Walkman.
There you go. That's a good idea.
Well, subliminal. We'll have to deliver subliminal messages. I cannot believe it's already November 6th. It is starting to get cold all over the world. I'm looking on Facebook and people are planning their rides and trying to figure out when they're going to get the outdoor rides done. It gets dark early. It's a frustrating time of year, I think.
It is definitely the dark early thing is frustrating. Now, here it gets dark around 5 to 5:30, at the worst time. So it's different places. When we lived in Kentucky, it wasn't dark till almost 6. I guess it depends how close you are till the next time change.
How close you are to the sun, I guess. You're closer to the sun. I don't know. I'm making that up. But my dad called me today, and he's like, or yesterday, he's like, well, Jamie, I guess you know there's only one person on the entire planet that likes the time change. That's you. I'm like, hell yes. because we don't change time here in Arizona. It's ridiculous. And so all of a sudden I get to sleep an extra hour and I'm only 2 hours difference from all my friends over on the East Coast. So this is one of my favorite times of year. But I did tell him, I said, you only have 4 months of it. That's the crap right there. Is it's only 4 months long. So it's not even half and half.
Now, have you been able to, did you get your extra hour of sleep this morning?
Oh, I definitely did. Definitely did. And the baby seems to have adjusted to it as well. Oh, we don't have to get up at 5?
That's the big problem. The dogs, the cats, and the babies. That's the ones who don't adjust as quickly as we do.
The rooster that I still have that I can't seem to give away has not changed. He is still crowing at about 4:30 in the morning. He's got to go. He's got to go. It's awful.
Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
Following our whirlwind wheel adventure into trivia this morning, we will be talking... Am I still here? I hear beeping.
Yeah.
You're still here. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I heard beeping, but it's just Glenn. We'll be going over some really crazy headlines, plenty of politics this morning to keep us busy, perhaps a crazy list or two, and to round out the day, we are going to talk horse health and make Glenn ill as usual.
Thank you, Jennifer. I really appreciate that.
Woohoo!
Well, Jamie, do you have a daily whinny?
I'm sure I can come up with one.
All right, why don't you do yours first while I come up with mine?
You're going to hate me, but I've got to give it to Macho Man. All of a sudden,
guess who's on TMZ? TMZ, like the Hollywood crap website that people always steal pictures of other people. And right there is a story about Mucho Macho Man and the Village People. So they say that the Village People are relevant again thanks to Breeders' Cup winning thoroughbred Mucho Macho Man. And apparently they wanted to play a concert for Mucho Macho Man, probably down in Florida, which is where all the Village People are retired in their special little homes.
And if you see the picture of them, that's pretty much true.
Yes, bless their little hearts. It's a good thing they wear hats because they're covering up the bald gray. They've had better days. They've had younger days. I don't even know if they can get their arms up to do the YMCA anymore. Who knows? But they really want to repay the Reeves for making them relevant again. And the fact that there's not only just a horse, but our horse in a story on TMZ just makes me incredibly happy. Yay!
Well, I love the last line of the story. Macho flew home to Florida today on a custom 737 dubbed Air Horse One. Because, well, he can. And then it says, he does not seem to like the song from the Village People, or maybe it's just he's happy to hear anything beside YMCA. I love that.
Which is just like the rest of us. You forget that
yes,
they've
exactly.
made another song.
They did have other songs, believe it or not, a couple.
You know, I must say I banned the YMCA at my wedding. I was like, if you play the YMCA, you might as well just jump in the water because it was on a dock. I'm like,
You were the only wedding in this country in the last 30 years that hasn't had it.
I dare to be different, Glenn. I dare to be different.
Give us a call, 347-637-3238 to play the equitymfg.com Wheel of Trivia. There are some lines open. We will not force you to play the five-second game this week. That'll come back, though. That was a lot of fun. We're back to regular categories today. So give us a call, and Jennifer will get the callers lined up. I have a Daily Winnie as well. My Daily Winnie goes out to a no-name 13-year-old German girl because in every article I have seen, they didn't name her, so I guess that was intentional. But her pony was named Freudelin, something like that. It's a German thing. And she was out riding. Apparently, she goes out by herself to ride every day in the outback of Germany. And she decided to take a different course and ended up in a swampy area. And she and her horse sunk up to its belly in mud. So she got off, tried to get her little Shetland pony out of the mud, and got stuck herself up to her waist for hours. She was screaming and screaming and screaming, and apparently she was so far out in the middle of nowhere that nobody heard her, and they she never returned home, so they sent out search parties and fire departments, and the Red Cross was out there and police officers and everything. And they did find her, and she was stuck. She wasn't going to get out by herself. They got her out right away, sent her off to the hospital. Apparently both her and her Shetland were really exhausted from trying to get out for hours. And then they took them 2 additional hours to get the Shetland pony out of the mud. But everybody's fine. Everybody's doing okay. She probably will not take that route again. So it was a happy ending for everybody.
That's good. That's good. That would be absolutely terrifying. Holy cow.
Yeah, definitely, seeing that they were there for hours. I mean, if you're there for, 20 minutes and somebody comes along, it's one thing. But apparently this is in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
But we don't usually see those stories out of Germany, so I thought this was unique.
Yes, it is. All right, well, the categories today, Glenn, Jennifer, I'm going to make sure everybody's mad at you because these are really hard. These questions are really hard. But you know what?
Nah, they're easy. Every time you say they're hard, everybody gets every one of them.
I know. It's kind of a thing I do.
And we do have some lines open yet, 347-637-3238. give us a call, 347-637-3238. And well, Jennifer's going to get everybody lined up here. In the meantime, Jennifer said that that Triple M is going to be in South Florida at Miami at a track down there, going to be doing a little, what is it, what'd she call it? What was the word she used?
He's doing like a meet and greet. He's actually parading in front of the track, and I forget the name of the track. It's in Miami. It's one of the really pretty ones that's warm. And he's going to be doing like a pre-parade for one of the races down there. So he's going to be showing off this weekend. He's already, again, flown from from California all the way down to the southeastern United States. So when you win the $5 million Breeders' Cup, can you officially say goodbye to horse trailers? I mean, officially?
I think officially he took Air Horse One. So
yeah,
He was. Do you think this was chartered specifically for him? The Reeves are going all out now, huh?
I mean, I would imagine, well, he's got his little friend that's always with him. So they're probably the two of them in the trailer. And then I can't imagine, Dean doesn't seem like a frivolous moron, So I would imagine that if they did have to do it, they probably filled it up. There's if people get rich for a reason, Glenn.
Yeah, that is true. That's why we're not rich.
They probably invested in the plane company and got a free flight.
Probably.
That's why we're not rich.
Can you imagine what their week has been like? Can you imagine the amount of calls and people and media and everything else?
And when are we going to have them on? I mean, come on.
I'm going to send out a request to her. I've been holding off. I'm going to send out a request to her today and say, when you have a moment some morning, you can stop by.
They probably don't think we watch since you haven't said anything to them yet. They're like, our radio show just didn't care about us anymore.
I figured that the NBC, ABC, and CBS were probably bombarding them. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, as far as the game goes, let's go over the rules. So those who haven't called, we do have some on hold, but we do have some open lines. So those who haven't called can go ahead and get an idea of how this game works.
All right. Do you want me to play the bumper first?
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Okay.
It's time for the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia, where every week unsuspecting horse enthusiasts call the show with illusions of trivia grandmaster dancing in their heads, willing to risk all for their chance to spin the wheel and possibly win some fantastic prize. Or answer incorrectly and have torn away every ounce of equestrian street cred they have, like an old bell boot.
That's right. It is time for the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia. And for the first time in, I would say, months, we have some open lines. Usually we have a lot of people that we don't get to on a Wednesday. I don't know if everybody's sleeping in today, has a hangover, or what the story is. But if you normally can't get through or you just don't normally have time, today would be a good day to give us a try. You're going to get 5 seconds to answer a trivia question of the categories that Jamie's going to read you here shortly. If you do, then you'll spin the wheel to win. We have a lot of good stuff on the wheel today, some brand new stuff as well, worth probably almost $500 worth of stuff on the wheel today. And it does include a box of Jennifer crap because she decided that I was not the only one that should be allowed to get rid of their crap. So Jennifer has been cleaning out her office, and she has a box of crap ready to send out too. So
if somebody's ever really nasty, Glenn, I have a box of crap in my closet. And it's the kitty litter box. So
that's right.
We can put that on the wheel too. I'm happy to mail that off.
Yeah, the mailman will love that. All right, let's take our first one. We've got Robin in Texas.
Good morning, Robin. How are you?
Good morning, and you? I'm pretty good. You guys?
Well, we are fantastic. Obviously, we're still buzzing from Mucho Macho Man's victory this past weekend.
Yeah, and I'm still trying to think of the three races that I missed last week. because every time I think of the Triple Crown, I think of Kegasus. I'm scarred for life.
I would have given you that.
I'm sorry. He ruined you, Kegasus. No, but see, Robin, you've listened to the show long enough to know that it's the Derby Preakness in Belmont. And so that begs the question, when I say the race this weekend that Mucho Macho Man won, side question, what race was that?
Breeders' Cup Classic.
Yay! That's not the question, though. Sorry. Just want to make sure.
Boy, I got to tell you, though, I really wish I had the Kegasus sound file right here because she gave me the perfect opportunity to play it again.
We can say it, and
he's
can't
gone.
Play it. He's gone. Forever. No more. Like, you're screwing with our listeners' heads. They can't even pay attention to the Preakness because you keep playing stupid Kegasus. So let this be a lesson to you, Glenn. All right, Robin,
all right.
Categories today. Let's move on before he finds that sound file and plays it. The first category is, can you spell tack? Can you spell tack? The second category is, where in the world? Where in the world? The third category, of course, is previously on Horses in the Morning. So what category would you like to go to?
Let's try, can you spell tack?
Oh, girl. Jennifer,
yeah.
I almost want to make you read the first question because it's so hard to say, but I'm going to go for this one. Wait.
I can do
the
it.
Shy.
You want me to do it?
You want to do it? I was going to go with, okay, read the first question to her.
Okay, Francois Boucher was a French riding master in the 19th century who lent his name to a popular snaffle bit commonly seen in dressage and eventing. Spell Boucher.
B-O-U-C-H-E-T-T-E.
Oh.
I appreciate the little twist on the end you put in there, but you know it
should
be B-O.
I think you just spelled a food, actually.
I'm hungry now. I'm starving. It's awesome. I want one of those. So actually, B-A-U-C-H-E-R. You know, it's the dang French. I mean, how are we supposed to know any of this stuff, Glenn? French.
You know, I took French for 4 years, and the only reason I took French for 4 years in high school was because I flunked the first 2 years, and they made me do them over. So the fact that I could read that at all in any sense of French is a miracle.
Well, Robin, I'm disappointed for you. You should have known this early in the morning not to try to spell anything because, you know.
Yeah, well.
It's early. But we appreciate you calling in, and we will hopefully talk to you again next week. You're 0 for 2, girl. Come on. Redemption next
week. I know. Thanks.
Make it easier. All right. Let's talk to Ruby in Arizona.
Good morning, Ruby. How are you?
I am doing good, although I'm freezing to death with the crazy cat, but I'm doing okay. How are you guys doing?
Did your cat share the bed with you?
Yeah, I got two of them that shared the bed with me, but the one I'm with now, I'm actually walking outside.
Wait, no, I'm still going to continue my line of personal questions. So, are you married?
No, I'm 14.
You are?
You are?
No, she is not. She just wants easy questions.
No, I'm 14.
Are you kidding me?
Yes, I'm in eighth grade, and I die in school every day.
I did not know
you
that.
You sound older than 14. I hate to say that. Is that bad to say to a girl? But you do.
She's so mature. She's
I
so
know.
Mature. And
well,
I never
my riding teacher thought I was 16, so.
I thought you were like 30.
First, honey.
And I was going to be worried about you having a lot of cats and no husband, but now the line of questioning is skewed off to the side. Good for you, 14 years old, and you're like, You're an impressive young woman. You give me hope for the world.
Yeah, I got 3 dogs, I got 3 cats, and there are 3 humans that live in the house.
Haven't
Mom,
you won
you.
Before? You've gotten questions right, haven't you?
I've gotten one right. I've won one prize, and so far, the last couple weeks, I've done horrible. So, I'm determined today.
Okay, would you
give her an easy one.
I know, right?
Yes, please.
I feel terrible that I'm, like, making fun of her for not having a husband, and she's dang 14.
I got to tell you, Ruby, you tricked us all. You really did. We all thought you were older. That's a compliment.
That is a compliment. You're very mature. All right, do you want, can you spell tax? Say no. Do you want where in
no.
the world? Say no.
No.
Or do you want previously on horses in the morning?
I'm still going to go with that because I'm horrible at French and I'm horrible at geography. So what choice do I have?
All right. You can get the, you can do this, girl. If you've been listening
all right,
to the
I'm ready.
Show.
As long as my cat doesn't run off and break his harness, I'll get it. I got to get it.
Okay. Now, I'm telling you, a little added pressure, though. The countdown clock is going to be playing.
You can do this. Now, Robin, who's still on hold, is going to be so pissed she didn't pick previously on Horses in the Morning. So here's the question, and you have 5 seconds.
All right.
Who was the jockey for Mucho Macho Man and piloted him to his 2013 Breeders' Cup Classic win?
Oh, gosh. Wild guess, Mike Smith.
Oh!
Wow!
It can't get any easier than this. Oh.
Ruby, seriously, if Mike Smith had piloted Mucho Macho Man, he would not have won. He would have come in second. I swear you should know that by now.
I know. I couldn't think of any other name.
Well, it is Gary Stevens. Gary Stevens came out of retirement. We've done multiple stories on this, but that's okay. It's early.
Hold on a second. It's my cat's brain.
His father was his mother.
I'm feeling generous today, Ruby. I'm feeling generous today. Have you ever won a mug or any stuff with our name on it yet?
Nope.
Okay. I'm going to give you a consolation question. Okay?
Really?
So, Jamie, ask her the third question there in Horses in the Morning. We'll see if she gets that one. If she doesn't get that one, I'm giving up.
All right. This is from yesterday's show. Did you listen to yesterday's show?
Oh, gosh, I don't think so. I do school all day. I'm surprised I have time to listen to anything. But I'll try.
Okay.
All right. She won't get this one.
No, DC.
No, she won't get it. What holiday gift item from yesterday's Tack Talk with Equus Now reminds Glenn of Lucille Ball?
I have no idea. I'm hopeless.
Now, can we give her one of the kids' questions, Glenn? Because, dear God, she can't win
a
thing.
Give her a kid's question. Yeah, give her a kid's question.
Okay.
No.
You got to know this one. If you don't, we're hanging up on you. We're not taking your calls anymore.
No!
Is the trot, a two-beat or a four-beat gait?
Two-beat.
Yay!
You got it! Yay!
I guess my cat hasn't rubbed off on me enough. Yay!
Those are questions for under 18, more like under 16, so you still qualify. So, very good. We've done everything we can in the world to help you win, and so now you get to spin the wheel. Take it away, Glenn.
All right. Well, actually, it's a consolation prize, so we're going to send you out some Horse Radio Network stuff, okay? We'll send you out a mug, I'll sign the mug for you and everything. So we'll make sure you get some Horse Radio Network stuff.
All righty. All right. Thanks for not giving up on me.
We did everything we could, Ruby. Hold on. Jennifer's going to get your address, and we'll send you out some Horse Radio Network gear.
Bye.
Hold on.
Now,
maybe what
we'll
do for Ruby, because she shocked us all, and not too many people get these because we never order as many. Jennifer will make sure we send her a Horses in the Morning mug, which is very special. So
that's the best one.
That's the best one. We'll send
I didn't
that
realize
one out
there were others. Yeah, there shouldn't be others. So that's the best one. It's morning. You drink coffee.
Well, we have the Horse Radio Network generic one that we always send out that has our little logo on it. But she's getting horses in the morning. Well, we have time for one more. We have Ingrid in going across the country to New Jersey.
Yeah, and I feel sorry for Ingrid because we've pretty much run out of questions at this point because we gave them all to Ruby. Good morning, Ingrid.
Good morning. How are you?
Fantastic. Oh. It's nice to hear your sunshiny voice this morning.
Oh, I'm trying.
Try harder for me.
Oh, okay. Well, I have to be sunshiny because I'm heading up to Barbie's now.
Oh, my God. Girl, drink.
Up to Happy
you
Barbie.
Need a mug to drink some coffee to keep up with that girl.
But I've got one of your mugs. I'm so excited. It's a Horse Radio Network, but I'll take it.
Yeah, cool.
Awesome.
I'll go for the horses in the morning mug now.
Now, what category would you like, Ingrid? Can you spell tack, where in the world, or previously on horses in the morning?
What was the second one?
Where in the world? Remember, these are horse questions. It's not like a master geography question like Ruby thought.
I'm going to say, can you spell tack?
Can you spell tack? Here we go. The Cheyenne roll is a lip-shaped recent addition to the cantle bead binding of a Western saddle, likely named after the town where it was invented. Spell Cheyenne.
Oh, boy. S-H-Y-A-N-N-E. I don't know. I'll
figure that one. Hit the buzzer after S. It starts with a C. C H.
Oh, God Almighty, I'm bad.
C-H-Y-A-N-E.
Okay, I'm driving.
Good try. We didn't ask you to read anything. We just asked you to spell something. I know you're driving, but it shouldn't be that hard.
Oh my goodness!
You have gotten that one living out west? Would you have gotten that one?
Yeah, because first of all, I love the song "Beaches of Cheyenne," and I would know that one from Garth Brooks' album. But
that's true. That's a good song.
We just can't spell it.
I just can't spell it now. And then, you know, it doesn't come up on the radio when I see it, like on the CD player. So, you know, I don't see it all the time.
So sorry, Ingrid, but we do appreciate you calling in and being a part of today's show. And I'll kick Jennifer's butt if she tries to get us to spell something next week.
I'll be right with you there.
Thanks, Ingrid.
Spelling bee champ.
Thank you, Ingrid. Well, Cheyenne, I didn't think was overly hard. Now, Boucher, I'll give you that one. But I didn't know that. So Cheyenne, I think I'd have gotten Cheyenne, only because I've seen it so many times.
Exactly.
Yeah, I did. But if you had asked me what the roll on a lip of a cantle of a Western saddle was, I'd have never gotten that.
I couldn't even read that question. It was so hard.
There are some other hard questions here, too. I think I would have gotten, I won't say what they are because we can use them again, but I think I would have gotten two of them in the Where in the World, only because of doing
the
show. Yeah.
No, you wouldn't.
Just because
have.
Of,
no.
Yeah,
no,
I would have, actually.
No. Nobody is ever going to get number two, ever. No,
I would have gotten. That is the one I would have gotten only because we just did a show about it and talked to them from that country.
Oh, that's right. Over on the driving show.
That's the only reason I would have gotten that one. It's because
Bragger.
I had to make the call to that country so I know which country it was. And it was not the one I was expecting, which is what we'll get to that one next week. All right, well, I got all this good stuff still to give away, so guess we'll do it next week.
Yes, I guess we will. Well, bummer. Thanks everybody for calling in.
Yeah, we got to talk about equity. EquityMFG.com, Shake and Fork, and Flex and Fork. We love these things. All of the hosts here on the Horse Radio Network use these manure forks. Yes, we brag about manure forks. And, you know, Jamie mentioned the holiday, how many? 49 days? You want to order this week, go ahead and order. Get your orders in now for the Equity Shake and Fork or the Flex and Fork. If you have somebody on your list that cleans stalls, period, then buy them one of these. It will be the best gift that they have ever gotten. They may look at you funny on Christmas Day, but after, for every day after that, for the next, what do you say, Jamie, probably about 10 years, they will thank you for giving them this fork because it's going to last that long. They're tough. They're durable. They're easy to use, and they have built-in suspension systems to stop flicking, which we have a problem when we clean our paddocks with the thick grass. That is always a problem, and I don't use any other fork now other than the Flexin fork for that purpose. Yeah. So,
and I know I'm not supposed to say it, but my God, you can't break these things. You just can't. I've tried. Trust me. Jam it into the ground. I ran over it with my gator. You just can't break them. And I did take my shaking fork to Galway this past weekend, Glenn.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah, of course. And everybody wants, can I try it? Can I try it? I'm like, here's the website. Get yourself one. You know, I let them play with it for like 30 seconds. I'm like, give it back. It's mine. But no, I hand it around to everybody. Everybody loves it.
I hope you lock that sucker up at a show. That'll walk away.
Oh, I'm leaving. It goes with me. When I go to pack up at night, I take my saddle in one hand and my shaking fork in the other, and we go back to the trailer. Try to break in when I'm staying in my trailer. I'll come and get you with that fork. But, no, it's an awesome fork, and everybody loved it. Everybody played with it and cleaned their salts with it. And, you know, what's amazing is that the shaking fork runs on battery, and you can recharge it. And as many people that used it, it's still going. Like, the battery didn't die. I didn't recharge it or anything.
I tell you what, we use ours only for a couple stalls a day, but I only have to charge it like once a month. I don't know what. I wish that whatever batteries he had in the shaken fork, they could put in my cell phone.
Amen, brother.
That thing dies in half a day.
I know.
And it's not cleaning poop. So
it's not doing near the job. But equitymfg.com is where you can find all of these things. Go ahead and get your orders in now. If your spouse has ever listened to our show, then they will know, they will understand when they open that up what a great gift it is. So equitymfg.com.
And before we go on, you have some reports on Keeneland Auction was yesterday, and there was some exciting stuff happened over there. But before we do that, I did the show with Wendy, the driving radio show this week, and she had a product recommendation for the holidays because we're on kind of this kick at the Horse Radio Network for giving health and safety for the holidays. Well, she covered the health part. She's a veterinarian and a traditional Chinese medicine doctor, and she absolutely loves the Back on Track products. She recommends the human ones. Her boyfriend is a human chiropractor, and he recommends the Back on Track human products to all of his clients. And she, of course, for the dogs and horses, she recommends the Back on Track equine and canine products. They just work. They have this built-in fiber that reflects the heat back and causes healing. And, you know, she went on to explain it a lot better than I ever could in the driving radio show this week about why it works. And she went on to talk, too, about some of the Chinese medicine principles of why it works, which I found very interesting because we had never heard Bo from Back on Track explain it that way before, but she explained it coming from the traditional Chinese medicine doctor side of things. And she uses the neck, the back brace. She uses the mesh sheet for her horses and the wraps. I mean, there's just so many different products you can get, and what a perfect holiday gift idea. If you're getting something for your horse, get him something that will make him healthier and make him feel better, and that's any of the Back on Track products for you, your horse, or your dog at Back on Track products.
I want the sheet and the dog bed. Yeah, it's everybody
you know
uses those at horse trials, yeah.
You know what she recommends, too, and she rides all the time, she also rides as well as drives, is the quarter sheet. She uses the quarter sheet when she rides. So, you know, she actually says, you know, why not give them the health benefits while I'm actually riding? So that was a good idea. I never really thought about that before. But backontrackproducts.com. Tell us about these auctions going on.
Holy moly, what a day of sales at Keeneland. It opened yesterday, and you know, obviously, the first day, the biggest and best go. And the first horse to sell for a ridiculous amount of money is a horse named Awesome Maria. You will know Awesome Maria because she was a stakes winner at the age of 2, 3, 4, and 5. She won several graded stakes races, and
was really, really tough. She was only retired this past year because of a tendon injury. So she has, she was probably end of last year. And then she was bred this year. So she's in foal to Coolmore Sire Giants Causeway. So she's 6 years old, got a long life of being a broodmare ahead of her. She's in foal to Giants Causeway, a very popular horse. I don't think it even comes close to what they paid for her, though. Play the auction, Glenn, and let's see how much Awesome Maria went for.
All right, I have this condensed down because it actually was about 6 minutes total. I have it condensed down to about a minute and a half, so you'll hear it skips forward here a little bit.
HIP 87, consigned by Lane's End. Agent for the complete dispersal will be Paul Robsham, Stables LLC, and selling without reserve, Awesome Maria. Six-year-old gray or roan mare by Maria's Mon out of Discreetly Awesome by Awesome Again. This out of a half-sister to grade one winning Millionaire Discreet Cat. And this also, a mare in the ring who at one point peeled off six consecutive greatest stakes wins. On the video boards, here's the stretch run from Belmont Park of Awesome Maria, winning the grade one Ogden Phipps handicap, drawing clear to win by three lengths. This is a KBIF registered mare, and she's pregnant on one cover due early to Giants Causeway.
I bet two, thank you, the 300 B, D, whatever three, D, whatever three. I got two on a feet span, three bit four, now five. I bet four, thank you, five, I bet one. I bet four, but on a 500 word, now do whatever, 500, four,
a four, B,
five, five, do whatever, 600. At 500 and 600 word, now do whatever, 600. I bet five, B, you got to give me chiller, 600. I bet five on feet size, 600 B, D, whatever. I've got 3 million, 800 B, 3 million, 800, 900 word, now you whatever, 3 million, at 899 is the old. Done is that yes, three, he changed his mind at 3 million nine, and now 4 million, sir. Do you what a bit 4 million? I'll bet four back there. Now you what a bit 4 million one. I'll bet four, but I won't. Do you what a bit one? Do you what a bit 4 million one? Bo, your turn again at 4,100,000. I'll bet four back there, bid 100, sir. Now you what a bit one. I'll bet four, but I won't. Do you what a bit? You said that before. I'm beginning to not believe you. I've got 4 million. How about 4 million one? I'll bet 4 million, bid one. Do you what a bit one? I'll bet one at 4 million, 4 million, 100 and all in, all through. We have 4 million against your man, Bo. Is you all done, all through at once? I'll bet 4 million, try one more time. You might get about, sir. At 4 bid 1, you would have bid 1. Do you would have bid 4 million 1? They're still talking about it all around at 4 million and 1. All in, all through. Last chance, you want to bid again. 4 million and 100. I'll bet 4 million, bid 100, sir. Now bid 1, are you done? Thank you for what you did, unless you want to change your mind. At 4 million, bid 1. Do you would have bid 1? Thank you. 4 million, 4 million, 100,000, and I have a in the back. She sells for 4 million. Thank you.
Good Lord, $4 million. Are you kidding me? And for some reason, just listening to his voice made me want to raise my hand. Like, I've got $4 million one. Like, why not? I don't know. Something about being in an auction makes me want to bid. I get competitive. But the fact that I would probably say $4 million. And $1. I've always wanted to be that guy. You know, you go to the auction, they're like, $800, you know, for the horses that I buy, $800. You're like, $801. I just always want to be that guy.
And if you're the guy, you're the backup bidder at the $3.9 million. You know, he obviously was pushing that guy at $3.9 million. You know, you're talking that kind of money, it's like you'd be just so tempted to keep going because it's like another 100,000, you're spending that money, who cares?
I know, really. It's like, what? Oh, did you draw the line in the sand at 3.9 million? Really?
Apparently.
That's your line?
Apparently.
Just, might as well just go for it. But no, she's a, you know, these stakes winning mares, their babies just sell for so much. So just in a couple years, she'll make her money back, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, if I can use that.
I'll tell you what, I watched that. Two things. I watched the video from that auction. One is I'm not a big gray horse person, but that is a stunning gray mare. That's the first thing. And she's pregnant, so she looks huge, you know. Then the other thing about it was there's not that many people in the stands. There's probably 20, 25 people. So you know that there's a very small amount of people that can spend $4 million on horses, and that's who's there.
Well, you know what I've learned, actually, Glenn, is now that everything is on the web, these buyers are on the phone most of the time. The 25 people in the stands might not even be bidding. Everything is on the phone, and they're done by agents. So it's not like you're going to the local tack auction down at, you know, the horse sale place. It's literally like, okay, people with their finger in their ear going, okay, I'll bid, and they bid. So it's like security, you know. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, before you get to the other one, because I know you're dying to, I wanted to tell you there were 113 horses yesterday sold in one day for $42 million.
Good
That's up,
Lord.
Up for 53% from last year. Last year, they sold 100 horses for $27 million, so we almost doubled that. I mean, it's a huge increase. I just thought I'd throw that out there. Big increase.
Well, definitely Awesome Maria was a big helper in jumping that up. And the next horse. Yeah. And the next horse. Now, I've been dying to tell you about this one because, oh, my gosh, if only I had money, I would have bought this horse. The dispersal of the late Eric Kronfeld saw some expensive horses being sold, and this would be the closest I would ever get to her, Glenn. The closest I could ever get to Zenyatta would be to buy her sister at auction, a Bluisson. A Bluisson sold yesterday at the Keeneland auction. She is the half-sister to Horse of the Year Zenyatta, and we've got her auction now. She was sold as they actually listed her as a broodmare prospect, so she's not pregnant. She hasn't raced since July, where she went into the starting gate and got all banged up, broke some teeth, got all scraped up. So I don't know if they're having some training issues with her or what, but they decided to sell her because it's a dispersal sale, decided to sell her at this auction. But apparently the announcer was like, you know what, I'm not going to leave it as just a broodmare sale. He sold her as a racing/broodmare prospect. So let's go ahead and listen to it, Glenn.
HIP 130, consigned by Winter Quarter Farm, agent for the estate of Eric Kronfeld, Eblasant, 4-year-old dark bay or brown filly by Bernardini, and here comes the half-sister, therefore, to the Horse of the Year and $7 million winning champion Zenyatta, also a half-sister to the Grade 1 winning Millionaire Distaffer Balance, and the filly in the ring won her first two starts at Betfair Hollywood Park and Santa Anita by a combined margin of 6 lengths. She also ran in the graded Shoe V handicap. Now, contrary to the catalog, this 4-year-old half-sister to Zenyatta is offered as a racing or broodmare prospect suitable for mating.
8-2, give 100, down 2, 800, down 2, down 3, but again, look at them, 3, but again, 2, down, but again, look at them, 3, 2, money in the back, down, Pete, 8-2-3, but again, look at them, 3, 4, 8-3-4, but again, look at them, 4, here, but again, look at them, 3, down, there, but again, 4, down, there, but again, look at them, 4, here, 8-300, but again, look at them, 4, but again, 4, but again, 5, 8-5, you say 6, here, but again, look at them, 6, here, down 7, you're both out, Pete, got to be 700 now, 600. 700 saw 850, but again to get in 50, but again to get in 650, down 7, and 657, but again down 50, but again to get in 50, but again to get in 50, down 8, 750, 800 saw, but again to get in to get. Team again to get 850. Million eight on Pete. Million 850. Here we go. Million 8. Here we again to get 50. Now 9. 8 million 9. But it appeared him to get on time. Here we again to get him to get down. Here we again to get him to get down 9. 8 million 9 on. But on down 50. But again to get him to get 50. 50. 50. But again to get on. Don't lose her down. 2 million 1. But it appeared him to get 1. Here we again to get him to get down 1. 8 2 million 1. But it appeared him to get 2 down there. But again to get him to get 1 on there. But again 1 on there. But again to get 2 million 1. 8 2 million 1. Anybody else? Y'all through. 2 million 1. I'm 2 million. Him to get 50. But again to get now 1. 8 2 50. Now 1. But again to get 2 million 1. 8 2 million 1. We won't slow him down. 2 million 1. Him again to get him to get 1. Here him to get 2 million 1. 8 2 million 1. But now 50. But again to get him to get down 50. Now what are we gonna do? 2 million 150. 2 million 150. But again to get 150. 150. But again to get him to get 50. 50. 50. But again to get him to get 50. But again to get 50. Here we go. 8 2 million 1. Him to get 50. But again to get him to get 50. Thinking about it? Yes or no? 2 million 150. 2 million 1. Him again to get him to get 50. 50. But again to get him to 1 million 150. Thank you. He said no. 2 million. 2 million 150. Anybody else? All through. 1 here, 150, all through, 2,150,000, and I have Pete on the right side, 2,000,001, thank you.
2.1 million dollars, and I've got some great news for you guys. So, they never really tell you who buys the horse or what's going to happen to the horse, but a Bluisson was actually sold to a guy named Dan Robinson's Winter Quarter Farm, and they're actually going to keep her racing, keep her running, and she's going to stay in training with the trainer, John Sheriff. So we're going to see her again. I they could have just retired her, but they're like, no, let's run her. So she's actually going to stay in training with John Sheriff. And as you know, he takes his time with these horses. So I'm super excited that we may see her back in a race again. Much like, who cares what kind of race? It's just let's see her run. Let's see what she can do. She's 2 for 3. So, I mean, my God. Was John Sheriff training her previously? Yes. He had been training her. Then the owner died. The owner of her, a Blue Sun, died, and a bunch of other horses. So they were selling the dispersal of all of his nice horses. So the people that bought her were like, let's just keep her in training with you, and we'll keep going. So I love that they've already released that, because they don't always release that information. So it's pretty exciting.
You know, every time I hear her name, I think somebody's sneezing. You know, I think every time I hear that. Do you know what that means in French, by the way?
Well, I bet that the guy who took 4 years of French could tell us.
Dazzling, stunning, and amazing.
There you go.
That's what it means in French. It still sounds like a sneeze to me.
People that speak French sound like they're sneezing, Glenn. It's just the whole language.
That's true. That is true. Well, I think that's going to wrap up the auction news we have. We have some other news here as well. I got good news on the horse slaughter front again. What happened was, remember that a federal judge had put on hold that the Department of Agriculture could not inspect horse meat packing plants, so it was put these slaughterhouses on hold, basically. Well,
good.
What happened was, 3 days ago, last Friday, the federal judge took the hold off and said, you guys can go ahead now. So the slaughterhouses, two of them, New Mexico and Missouri, I think, were the other one, prepared. They called their workers back, and they were prepared to start slaughtering this week. And the Humane Society and everybody else that's in this court battle to try and get it stopped appealed to the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals in Denver, and they approved an emergency injunction yesterday by the plaintiffs to stop the inspections.
Woo-hoo.
So at this point, it's a temporary injunction, but the Court of Appeals, that what's going to happen next is they will have a hearing now at the Court of Appeals as soon as that can get scheduled. And then the Court of Appeals will hear the case and make their jury verdict. If they decide that at the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals that I understand that if they then throw it out and say, you can go ahead, then the next recourse is it goes up again and it goes up to, like, the Federal District Court and then to the Supreme Court. So there's a couple more courts to go if they fail in their mission here. But it is a long road to hoe and very expensive. So at this point, it's on hold.
So when you see those commercials on Comedy Central and it's in the arms of an angel, and it's the Humane Society asking for, pennies a day, go ahead and send that money in, because I think they're going to use it and need to use it for all of their court costs. So when it says you can adopt an animal, whatever, you're probably just paying some court costs, which is very well, used. So please. Send in your, for a cup of coffee a day, you can be a member of the Humane Society.
There you go. That's what's going on. That's the latest on the slaughter issue anyway.
Well, hey, Glenn, I've got a racetrack story that, you and I do not have the greatest record in picking the winning racehorses, you know what I mean? We're kind of terrible at it.
Or winning lottery tickets, apparently, too.
Well, yeah, but let's stick with the horse racing, because I haven't figured out the lottery thing yet, but I've figured out how we can guarantee a win if we are betting on a turf race. Are you ready for the magic?
Okay, I'm ready. Yep, I'm ready. Magic.
I learned this because this past weekend at Bathurst Racecourse in England, there were the horses running on the turf, and all the horses. Let's see, Path to Freedom was passing Run, Bullet, Run, and Roman Victory was coming up on the side to win the race. And as the horses came around the final stretch, the sprinklers turned on. The sprinklers turned on the turf course.
I saw this video.
It's fantastic. So every single non-winning ticket was refunded. Every single one, they were like, my horse, because you could have been like, my horse didn't win because the sprinklers turned on. So you guaranteed to get your money back, and all of the winning tickets were paid as winning. They were all honored. And so if for some reason you're at Keeneland and your horse is on a turf track and it's the last horse, just flip that switch, turn the sprinklers on, you'll get your money back. How awesome is that?
Yeah, we saw that one. That was very funny. And the inside horses, the ones that were on the rail, them and their jockeys just got nailed right in the face
pelted,
with a direct stream.
Pelted. We need to post that video. Jennifer, can you post that video? Do you know where it is, or you want me to send it to you?
I can get it.
Okay.
Yep. That was in Australia, by the way. Yeah.
Oh, my bad. Sorry, yep. I was thinking of Bath.
Bathurst race course in Australia. That's funny.
It's awesome.
The announcer didn't quite know what to do with it either. I love when the announcers get caught off guard like that. He wasn't quite sure what to do either. Hey, can I tell you about two things in the political intrigue today that are hot news today? One is Isabel Wirth, which is a name that any dressage rider will recognize. She has been suspended for 6 months from all international competitions for being found guilty of giving her horse a banned substance. The FEI really is starting to crack down on this in some quarters, and dressage is one of them. And after doing some research, they do believe that the horse actually got his head into a stall of the horse next door that had this substance. It was cimetidine.
And what cimetidine is, I've taken it. It's Pepcid AC. Cimetidine is Pepcid AC for ulcers, like, my stomach hurts, I've got some heartburn. You take one of these.
Okay, so what happened, they think, that makes sense. Did they put it in water? Because what they said is that her horse drank some water that had it in for another horse that was taking it, okay? But the German Federation accepts that it was an accident. They say that we accept this was an accident, but it constitutes a breach of duty of care in the organization of their stable operation for which the rider is ultimately responsible.
6 months, man.
Yeah. So this five-time Olympic gold medalist gets banned because of a stable accident, basically, something that probably she had nothing to do with and that her grooms were taken care of. But, boy, you've got to be extra careful now.
So can they not give, when I go to a horse trial, I give my horse UltraGuard. It's just what we do. I wonder if that, because this is an ulcer medication. It's not like it's
I don't think it's an approved ulcer medication, I think, is the difference there.
Okay, gotcha. Maybe the FEI just has a zero tolerance, obviously, for anything.
Well,
that's
if I remember right, the FDA has not approved ranitidine for use in horses. Thus, it is not approved by the FEI.
Okay, gotcha. So,
and it was actually, you got to give the German Federation credit because they're the ones that stepped up on this and actually did it, on their own. So, I'm sure the FEI was involved. There's a follow-up story to this, and this is where the intrigue really comes in, is right now the FEI annual meeting is going on, and there are huge calls now for the first time for Princess Haya of Jordan to resign. And they are really pushing. There's some of the countries have come out and are asking her for her resignation, and the reason is because she's married to Sheikh Mohammed, who has been getting in a lot of trouble over his endurance horses and drugging.
Right.
We had talked about how England is really on a tear against Sheikh Mohammed. Well, now it's come out that there are many countries that are starting to voice an outcry over the drug abuse and how the FEI has covered it up. And they're blaming Princess Haya, and they think because of conflict of interest, she should resign immediately. So this is I wish I was a fly in the wall of some of the meetings of the FEI conference going on right now. The Telegram understands, this is out of England, though the FEI denies it, that at least one national federation has already asked Princess Haya to resign, claiming a conflict of interest. The Dutch Federation also says it has years of testimony from officials and vets, get this, Jamie, who were physically threatened while trying to enforce the rules of the FEI rides by certain countries from the Middle East. The high-speed training and medication techniques of the Middle East teams in endurance racing have caused welfare concerns for more than a decade, and that 80 horses were fatally injured in the UEA in the 2011-2012 winter season alone.
Wow.
So there is a lot of pressure. Now, you know what the problem is here. the big and it's shocking that we're even reading this. And the reason it's shocking is because Sheikh Mohammed is probably the largest donator of money to shows and events and advertising across the world. So by these countries coming out, they are really cutting off a huge funding source that they're probably not going to see again. But they're even saying now that the sport of endurance is on the line here. So it's tough. One of the top American endurance riders has written a letter just condemning the Middle East for their practice with their horses. It is just coming apart over there. So it'll be interesting to see what happens over the next couple of days and who gets their feathers out of whack, because it's going to be interesting to watch.
I could say so many things right now, and I have so many comments on the tip of my tongue. And as I'm filtering through those in my brain, I'm like, you know what, just don't say any of them, because if, like my mama always said, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. I'm afraid that the Sheikh is going to come in and like bomb my house or something, because I am so irritated about this. I find horses are dying. Why do we keep having these problems with drugs? And it's in the U.S. too. I mean, obviously, it's all over the place.
And it's not just in endurance riding either. It's in every sport.
No.
I mean, it's not.
But the fact that this keeps coming up is like I said, I'm just not going to – I can't say something nice.
Well,
don't say anything at all, because it's
The nice thing we can say is that people are starting to speak out now for the first time. So
yeah,
that's the good thing that's happened here.
That's true.
The positive. I don't know what's going to come out of it, but we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a break for our song.
Go for it. Song, and then we'll go straight into the Horse Health Report.
Sounds good. Horse Health Report right after Boots and Pearls. And this is a song by a singer that we had actually on our show a little while ago by the name of Adrian. Boots and Pearls, appropriate for holiday season.
That's what I wear. Pearls seems fair with my blue jeans, diamond rings, and roses in my hair. I rode a bronc, he was tough, the boys are that's something that I
That's what I wear.
Well, that was Adrian singing Boots and Pearls. You can find all of her music at buckaroogirl.com, buckaroogirl.com. She's 18 years old, a real cowgirl, and been a cowgirl her entire life. It was a lovely interview, and I know why Jennifer likes her, because she was just a sweetheart during the interview that we did with her, and we'll definitely have to have her back on the show. You are listening to Horses in the Morning, brought to you by Back on Track Products. I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair. And it is that time of the week when we talk about horse health.
It's time for the weekly health report, brought to you by Horseside Vet Guide App. Fantastic information and our attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
This week's Horse Health Report is brought to you by Horseside Vet Guide. Horseside Vet Guide is a brand new app developed with your horse's health in mind. Created by an expert in equine veterinary medicine with over 20 years of experience, Horseside Vet Guide helps you determine how to best resolve an equine health care problem. Far more than a mobile first aid app, Horseside Vet Guide contains an extensive list of observations, skills, how-to videos, veterinary diagnostics, treatments, and so much more. It's the most highly reviewed horse app on the market today. Just search for Horseside Vet Guide in the iOS App Store today. For the price of a cup of coffee, you can have the world of equine vet care at your fingertips. Well, this week, Jennifer and I had a problem with my pony, and Jennifer, you have to back me up here. I actually discovered it and all on my own brought it to Jennifer's attention. Am I right?
You did. You came over to the house, white as a sheet. Your heart rate was highly, really elevated, and you said, "My horse's ankles are all puffed up. Come and look fast." Yes, you were panicked.
Yes, yes. Oh, well, it's my, you know, we spend all this time getting healthy. I didn't want something to happen. So we go out, and his back ankles, mostly his back ankles. Now, you've got to remember, too, he has four white socks, very white socks. And his back ankles are, by the way, I discovered as a side note that a pony with a white blaze and four white socks is easier to find in the dark. Just saying. So that's one of the things I've learned. So we go out there, and his back ankles are all fat, and we were trying to figure out what was wrong and, you know, putting liniment on it and that kind of thing. And you kind of determined it was something that we see here in Florida this time of year because of the dew, right?
Yes. We gave PT Scooter the once over, and Glenn learned how to use our spiffy new electronic thermometer. You had to take his temperature, and we looked at his gums, and we checked all those
health
things.
I wish there was someplace else we had to put that thing. I just wish they'd
just
do an ear thermometer or something.
Yes, going to have to get over it. And all those things were fine, but his little ankles were puffed up like beach balls, and they were warm and very tender to the touch. But since he didn't have a fever, we said, well, this is very likely scratches, and it's hard to find his actual skin back there because he's got enough fur to keep a grizzly bear warm in wintertime. But he's had scratches before, and he has gotten the same symptoms before. So we went with that diagnosis and treated it appropriately. We have our Sore No More liniment, which does not have any alcohol in it, so it doesn't sting so much, and we rubbed it down onto his little legs because that's what we could get onto the hair through, or onto the skin through all that hair. And it took about 4 days for it to really start to clear up. Yeah, he was not a happy camper.
Well, and then I remembered that we had done an episode with thehorse.com, Michelle from thehorse.com, and Dr. Jones from Florida Equine on scratches. So I thought we'd replay that for you today because it's something that if you live in climates like ours, you're going to be dealing with this time of year. Jamie's not going to have to worry about it so much because it's so dry out there. But let's take a look back at a show we did a while ago on scratches.
I'm going to start this segment with a little bit of a story. Glenn, are you there?
I'm here. Yeah.
Glenn needs to be here for this. You're going to be doing this, Glenn.
You're in Florida now, dude, and I'm just going to let you know that my experience with scratches was, you know, because you like driving horses and you're especially fond of draft horses, Glenn. At one point into the clinic that I was a veterinary technician at, they brought in a draft horse, a Belgian, that had some scratches on his leg. So we, you know, clipped it. And my job as the technician, Glenn, was to scrub. And I had to scrub all of it because it was very inflamed. And it was like the worst case of scratches ever. And as I'm scrubbing, maggots are coming out. Oh!
Yeah!
Okay. Sorry, Glenn. I wasn't expecting that.
You weren't. Let me tell you who wasn't expecting maggots to start coming out was me as I screamed and almost gagged in front of the owners of the horse. That was horrible.
You know what? I can one-up you on that one. Same kind of thing, cleaning a sheath. So there you go, Jamie.
Oh, God. God.
And these aren't even coming from a veterinarian, Glenn. That's how I love this.
So scratches, it's a little nasty. I don't think it's that nasty, but it's definitely something that's kind of a hassle for those of us who've had to deal with it. So, Dr. Jones, can you start out by telling us a little bit about what scratches is, what causes it?
Yes, if I can get rid of this ringing. I guess I'm ringing in this phone. Are you guys getting that feedback?
I'm not, no.
You want Jennifer
okay,
because
you keep
back?
Getting, yeah, I get less and less volume, and I get a very
okay.
high pitch.
All right, we'll have Jennifer give you a call back. Jennifer, if you
it's
could
gone.
Call
it's
back.
It's gone.
It's gone. Oh, it's gone?
Are we good?
It's gone. Yeah, okay. And I haven't moved, so.
All right.
Okay. Okay, so let's talk about what causes this. Is that what you were asking?
Do scratches
right?
affect
well, what
your
is it? So first, I think we need to start out to say that, you know, this is on the lower leg for people who haven't dealt with it. It's usually on the lower leg, right?
Yes, it's always in the pastern area. It has many names attached to it. Greasy heel is another name, if you guys have heard this. Scratches. But it's in the pastern area, sometimes kind of goes up around the fetlock and maybe up into the cannon bone of horses that are more predisposed to it, which are feathered horses.
So,
see, now the feathers don't just start in the pastern, they start a little higher up, so you can get this greasy heel, scratches, pastern dermatitis. I'm trying to think of all the different fun names. I guess you have mud fever.
I've never heard
of that one.
Yeah.
All these names for this area, and it's usually the pastern is the primary culprit, but can go higher because feathered horses, which would be your draft horses, but is your gypsy vanners, anything that has a little excessive hair back in the buttlock pastern area, Frisians, yes, would be culprits to this. So if you have a cross, a lot of people are liking to cross with Frisians or Clydesdales, and you have horses that have a little bit of feathers, but you are clipping them off, you're helping that horse out a lot because it seems that the hair is trapping the moisture, which is starting this whole process. So,
what kind of organism is it that's causing it?
Primarily, it's bacterial. But here in Florida, we have a wonderful other organism that loves to jump in while the bacteria is having a party and have a party with them, and it's fungal. It seems like anything that gets wet and moist here in Florida, you just almost assume has a fungal aspect to it as well. So, corneal ulcers in the eye. You don't see fungal corneal ulcer issues up north, but you see them a lot here in Florida. Pastern dermatitis, bacterial, but also fungal infections. You can kind of get the bacteria under control, but you got to take care of the fungal infection as well. But bacteria is the primary culprit.
So does that mean it's infectious? Can they pass it to each other?
No. The ones that are infectious are the mange, which also is a differential. So when you see this, you can't just assume that when the horse is scratching their legs and they're getting these
these wounds on their lower leg, fetlock, and pastern area, that it's definitely a greasy heel or a pastern dermatitis. It could also be mange in a horse, and we'll see that more in draft horses with the feathers than you'll see in the light breed horses. Light breed horses can get this pastern dermatitis, and why do they get it? Usually because they're standing out in a lot of dew in the pasture in the morning, and or they're stepping down to the lake to kind of cool off their feet in the summertime, and they can get a little bit of moisture and bacteria build up on the surface.
Okay. So once that gets going, what is it going to look like? Can you describe it a little bit?
Well, I don't think it will look as bad as what Jamie described.
No.
That was an extreme case.
Yeah.
This is for you, Glenn. If you catch it early, it won't get as bad as Jamie's. How's that?
I'll take that.
So the commonest said that usually you see it in white-legged horses, so those who have socks and stockings on a hind limb or the forelimb. Mostly it's seen in the hind limb for some reason. I see it a lot in the forelimb and the draft horses, so I say any of the limbs can affect. It is a reddened and scabby area that gets really swollen and inflamed in the pastern area, and again, fetlock, and can go higher in the feathered horses. And what the problem is it continues to trap moisture in that area, which makes a great environment for bacteria to grow. Then you get the secondary bacterial infections that are very common, and that adds more trauma to the skin and more due diligence on trying to treat it. So initially you can start off trying to treat it topically with some of the over-the-counter medications at the feed stores, but the primary thing you have to do is make sure that it stays dry. And you can, they've blown dry, believe it or not. A very well-known Clydesdale hitch will blow dry the feathers so that they can keep them from getting this dermatitis, because they do rinse them every day and they do clean their feathers every other day. So they have to blow dry that area to keep them from getting this grease heel. You can towel dry your own horses after you bathe them or rinse them.
Do you suggest a flat iron for feathers? I mean, is that something we'd like to incorporate? Does it help make it look more luxurious? Because I do prefer, when I blow dry, to use my flat iron as well. Go ahead.
I have never gotten into the care of those feathers. They have visited my clinic, and they're very disappointed when they go home with, you know, dirt and mud on the bottom of their feathers, because they're enjoying themselves out in my pastures. So I let them be horses here. So I think I was dropped off a bar of Castile soap one time so I could keep the feathers clean. It didn't really quite work well. I was a little more focused on my medicine than I was on keeping the feathers clean.
I would imagine. Anyway, flat
iron. So the keeping them dry is your big thing. So those people that are getting it on a light breed horse that don't have feathers and don't have those issues to worry about, and they're scratching their head going, okay, I clean my horse, I wash their legs, I make sure they don't get any cuts or scratches and stuff like that, but yet now I'm getting this pastern dermatitis, what do I do? Don't turn them out in your pastures with dew on your pasture. Wait till it dries, so it's late morning, and bring them in if it starts to rain. So in Florida here, that'd be late afternoon would be when it starts to rain. So they'd be out from about 10 in the morning until about 3 in the afternoon or 2 in the afternoon, depending on when the rain came in. And that's the best way to fight it once you start seeing it.
The hard part in Florida is most, you know, a lot of these people, we live in a equestrian community now, they just leave their horses out all the time. They're running sheds or, you know, some kind of structure like that. So they're getting exposed to this all the time. And it's dewy here every morning.
Right. Oh, right. Yeah. And it will be. It will be. Right.
And here, so here in Central Oregon, we're in the desert and on dry lot, but the horses are pastured on irrigated pastures. And so, especially flood irrigation, once things are wet, it's hard to get them dry again. So that's when we start fighting with this. And I had, because I've dealt with it in a fjord and a halflinger with the heavier feathering on the legs.
Feathers.
But I also have dealt with it in an older Appaloosa. Is it, are older horses more susceptible to it, or was that just that particular horse?
No, you can see it in older. I had it on a young horse, which was an Arab cross. She had four stockings. Mom was in the hospital with chemotherapy, and so the sons were taking care of the horse, and they were just being turned out like they normally are all day long.
and her legs puffed up all the way up to her knees and all the way up to her hocks because she got such a bad secondary bacterial infection from this pastern dermatitis that she acquired. And she was a younger horse, so I think it's immune-related in that respect. But you still can see it on a 10-year-old or an 8-year-old. It's the environment they live in is the primary culprit. And then your care is going to be secondary in taking care of all that. If you don't stay on top of it, it will explode to like this little filly who got swollen legs and very, very sore pasterns that you could hardly even touch them. They were hot as a firecracker.
Now, you mentioned over-the-counter topical treatments. Are there any ingredients people should be looking for?
Yeah, anything that will be a drying agent in there. Betadine is a wonderful drying agent. So you can just strictly pick up some betadine shampoo or betadine solutions to clean off that area. It dries out. I know because I'll use it to clean wounds in the or clean up mares in the breeding season time. My hands get cracked if I don't put lotion on them because betadine will really dry out the skin nicely. But you have to towel dry after you clean that area. Towel dry it off, and that's key. You can use all those over-the-counters, but then towel dry. Don't add lotions. Don't put any kind of antibiotic ointment on there because now you're just trapping in all that wonderful bacteria that you've created. Let it dry out.
And so when is it time to get the vet involved if you've tried the topical treatments?
If they're not working, then get the vet involved because you don't want to get to the point of the swollen legs and the secondary bacterial infections. You want to stop it beforehand. But I hate to say it, for those feathered friends of ours, removing the feathers is key to getting it cleared up. So you need to clip the legs.
Oh,
the feathers.
Very you just have them rolling over right now going,
I know.
Turning off their radio going, I hate Dr. Jones, I think she's a witch. You know, every one of them is saying that right now.
Okay, how's this? Clip all the feathers underneath the top layer, and then you can just drop that top layer down so it looks like they got feathers. My best way to describe it is the very top part of the fetlock or
pasture. It's like a comb over.
Yes, it's comb over.
Like
I didn't know what that beauty salon word was, so thank you, Glenn, for that beauty salon word. Yeah.
No. This is brilliant. What you need to do, we are going to start marketing some, you know, some weave.
You
can sell to the grassroots people. It's much like, you know, the fake tail that they get for the hunters. Then we can, you know, sell some weave. And then, you know, what you do is you go up to them and you say, is that your real hair? And they're like, yeah, I bought it. That makes it mine. Okay? That's the way it works.
So can I tell a story?
Yes, you can.
Okay. So I live in Central Oregon, and the woman who invented and owned Twinkle Glitter, horse glitter, here in Bend, and she is at my barn. She rides with my trainer. She's a dressage rider, and her horse is always beautiful. It always has glitter on it, jewelry, beautiful blankets. I mean, it's just top-notch, beautiful. Oh, the horse is always decked out, and I seriously the other day saw her walking through the aisle with a set of hot curlers to go curl her horse's tail before her riding lesson.
No.
Okay.
And it's perfect because she's so wonderful and her horse is so beautiful, and that's that extra polish it takes to have a really beautiful horse. So if she had a horse that had feathers, I'm sure she would flat iron it. She's great.
That is fantastic. I cannot believe that.
So,
hey.
But I took us off topic, so back to scratches. We have an article number 8415 on the horse that can give you some more ideas about cleaning that up and drying up scratches, mud fever. We get lots of questions, especially from New Zealand and from Great Britain on this at thehorse.com. So thank you, Dr. Jones.
Well, Dr. Jones, before you go, you know we moved to Florida a couple days ago, and we're having our first experience. We had a couple snakes outside the house, and then we came across our first gopher turtle, which was a fascinating critter, by the way. We kind of liked that one. And then we also had our first experience with a bout of fire ants, which we seem to have an overabundance of in our property here. Do the horses ever get affected by fire ants? Do they, like, snuffle it and get their nose bitten?
Yeah, they don't get their nose bitten, but they'll lay down in them.
Oh,
and
how
you'll
about
see
that?
On one side. I have fire ants here, and that's my horses get eaten alive by them. They're nasty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when you drop a horse to castrate, it's a really good idea to make sure that you don't have fire ant mound near where you're going to castrate. So that's one thing. Besides looking for manure in the pasture, we also have to look for fire ant mounds in the pasture that we're going to drop them. Make sure we don't drop them on fire ants. Yes.
Did you learn that the hard way?
Yeah.
Like, get up, buddy. We got to go over here. No, you're pretty much down and in it. Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, and you know, usually the technicians don't like it either, too, and they're getting bit up. So, yeah, it's not. So you have to watch for that. But the other thing, too, Glenn, believe it or not, and Jamie, you'll be surprised by this, is we have scorpions here, too.
Don't tell Jennifer that. She's already freaked out by all the spiders. Don't talk about scorpions.
And so just be careful when you're moving logs or rocks. You might have a scorpion underneath there. It won't make you sick like the ones down in the Southwest do, but it will definitely hurt in the area that they bit.
Oh, okay.
Or stung, I guess, is better way of saying it, stung.
Great. So we'll add that to our collection of wildlife we've discovered since we moved here.
Yeah, but the snakes are good. They eat your rat and mice, so leave the snakes alone. We have rules here at my clinic. You do not kill a snake. All the rat snakes are good.
We haven't, the one that was a rat snake we had. The other one, I'm not sure what it was. It was night, and we had just arrived, and it was greeting us on our driveway at our back door.
Oh, nice. It was greeting you. Yeah. Oh, that's good. Welcome to the neighborhood.
Kind of greeting committee. That's right. And, hey, one of these days soon, we have to, you're not too far from us now, we'll have to have Jennifer, I'm not volunteering for this, by the way, Jennifer is, do a ride-along with you for a day, and then we can talk about it the following Wednesday about what kind of things you ran into. What do you think?
If I want to be talked about that way or not. But, yeah, I'd love to have her come along. But, you know, Glenn, in return, I'll come up, and I'm going to invite myself, or you can come have dinner at my house, and we'll have a slideshow presentation for you, Glenn.
Oh, great. Yeah, that'd be wonderful. Yeah, I'll just sign up for that.
I love it. I love it.
It just depends on how nasty you are about me on that talk show. So we just might have to have dinner together.
We can do that without the slideshow. I'd be happy.
No, you have to have the slideshow. I love it. I love the idea. Well, Dr. Jones, as always, it's been a pleasure to have you on. FloridaEquine.com is her website. Now you, at least you've already got your vet lined up for when Beaker gets down there. So that's good. Easy choice. You got new clients, Dr. Jones, and then Michelle from horse.com.
Well, that was a recording that we had done before on scratches, and it was very funny. I had forgotten about that one. That was a chuckle.
It was really funny, and I find it amazing that you played this just because your pony currently has scratches. Is that correct?
That is correct, yeah. See, I have some influence over what the content of the show is, so... I basically wanted to hear it again.
Don't turn him out during the dew in the morning and take him in when it rains. So did you learn something? Are you going to have him fixed?
I can't believe how much hair this – I mean, we're basically going to shave him this weekend. We ordered a blanket for him that's supposed to come in today. And we're going to have to shave him this weekend because he is just getting so hot. He has a winter coat that would be reminiscent of somebody in Michigan. He could definitely move up there. And he has feathers. He has more hair, this little pony. I don't remember Arthur Hackney being this hairy. But he definitely has a coat on him that we're going to have to shave off. Jennifer will do that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he will look absolutely like a clown if I do it. So,
you know, I figure every time I clip a horse, I just have to wait 2 weeks and it looks fine again. Just 2 weeks. Just don't take him out for 2 weeks and then nobody will ever know.
Make sure he wears his jammies for 2 weeks so he's hidden, completely hidden from public.
Exactly. It's amazing how the horses, even in Florida and Arizona, get these winter coats. That the pony we have here and the paint horse, holy cow, they look like you plugged them into a light socket. Like they have all of a sudden all this hair.
It is true. And it seemed to come in quickly. We were wondering if part of it was because he was malnourished, you know, that his hair is overcompensating this year. I don't know. Beaker is kind of figuring it out now. He doesn't get as heavy a coat after his, I guess this will be his going on his third winter here. So he's not getting quite as heavy a coat. But, boy, this little guy.
Mine haven't figured it out. Not a one of them.
Well, he's getting a trim job this weekend. Even his fetlocks and everything are going to have to go so we can get rid of the scratches issue. But his ankles are looking much, much, much better. He's down to pretty much normal now. I don't feel so bad for him now. Not that it ever hurt his appetite or anything. That never slowed down. That wasn't a problem.
Well, very cool. Very cool. I'm glad you're going to get him solved, and I'm glad we have all of these, this archive of horse health reports for us for any problem. Just an update on Jet before we go. I did have the vet out yesterday morning, and she took a bunch of blood work and is going to test him, and I should be getting the results back this morning. She did say that, yes, I was not crazy to call. He definitely – actually, my vet said to me, Jamie – your horse was pleasant to work on today. He is not feeling like himself. She's like, he
something
was
wrong with this animal.
She's like, I think
if
I'm going to run
a just
full
bottle
panel.
It, you need to bottle it while he's in this mode. You know, take like several quarts of blood while he's in this mode, and then, you know, you can keep him supplied with the happy juice.
Yes, exactly. Transfuse him when he needs to be behave himself. But yeah, I was inside with the baby, so I couldn't even go out and help. And so she called me, and she's like, yeah, he's not feeling good. And I'm like, what happened? She's like, he was pleasant to work around, Jamie. She's like, he is sick.
It's funny.
I'm like, well, It's kind of funny because that's how I knew he was sick was he didn't try to buck me off. I'm like, what is wrong with my horse? This is not him. So we should be getting everything today, all the information today. So keep your fingers crossed, say a little prayer. But she thinks that maybe he's got an infection kind of brewing somewhere. But we'll know, we'll know this morning.
Good. Well, good luck with that. Well, that's it. We have to wrap up today. We will have a recorded show for you tomorrow. And then on Friday, we'll all be back. And, of course, it's really bad ads time. So get your really bad ads in. Send them in to Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com, Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com with really bad ads in the subject line. Copy the entire ad, pictures and all, paste it in the email, and send it that way. Just don't send us a link. They're dead by the time we usually get to them. So we do need some ads. Get them in today, and that would be appreciated. Also, we want to thank our sponsors today. We had Back on Track Products as the title sponsor, EquityMFG.com, and, of course, we had the Horse Side Vet Guide for the Weekly Health Report. Jamie, you'll be here on Friday, right?
I will be. Come hell or high water, I'll be here.
Looking forward to it. I'm sure Jennifer will have some fun guests lined up for us.
I must say, Glenn, that Jennifer has not written me back, but I sent her potentially one of the funniest really bad ads ever, and I'm buying for a prize. I don't care. I'm tired of not winning anything and supplying these, and I found an epic. Just the title alone is all you need. So, Jennifer, make sure we have that one on Friday because I was pretty proud of it. Finding it anyway.
Uh-oh.
I'll make sure
that laughter means that. Is it gonna clear the sensors, Jennifer?
Probably
yes,
not.
It will clear the sensors. It will clear the sensors.
It may be editing,
it
but it will clear.
Yeah. You'll have a beep in
the All right, that's it, everybody. Have a terrific day. Be safe out there. Wear your helmet.
Spay, neuter, and geld.
You check for fire ant mail, Kirk.
Yeah, that was funny.
Poor little pony. Poor my little pony.
I heard that.